good morning, everybody. You know, it seems appropriate that we are starting a new season of spring and that we have a congregation with people in it, a sanctuary with people in it. It is awesome, and we have a sanctuary of people online as well. So we welcome everybody. Thanks for being here. So before we begin, we just want to recognize that we are on the traditional territories of the Huron-Wendat, the Anishinaabeg, the Mississaugas of the Credit, and the Haudenosaunee. So today we'll be singing hymn number 290, the Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. We have a new children's video called Surrounded. Number 375, Fairest Lord Jesus, and then our prayer of dedication, Go With Us, Lord. And our scripture reading today is from Psalm 125 and Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 4.
Seek the Lord while God may be found. Call upon God who is near.
We will return to the Lord, our God.
God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are not our ways.
We come seeking new paths to follow.
As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than ours.
We come as pilgrims on the journey, praising God along the way.
So let us pray in our adoration and confession. God, our creator and sustainer, in you we live and move and have our being. In your surrounding love, we find meaning, we find light and joy. You are the source of peace and the hope for all who turn to you. You alone have been our help and our guide. You give us strength and courage when we face challenges. In you we find rest and welcome along the way. We praise you, O God, for your steadfast love. Draw near to us once more in this time of worship. Reveal your purposes for us and prepare us for the days ahead, so that our lives may witness to your mercy and grace as we follow Jesus. And altogether, God of grace and mercy, we confess that our thoughts are so often not your thoughts. Our ways are rarely your ways. Our tempers are short and we fail to act with kindness. Our confidence is weak and we treat others without respect. Our faith falters and we lose track of you. Forgive the many ways we fail you and inspire us to follow you more faithfully. Hear our assurance of praise, our pardon. But when the kindness of love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. And this is from Titus 3, verses 4 to 7. So let's pray. God of life, help us to hear your word to us in the scriptures so that we may become instruments of your saving love in this world. And now I'll call up John and Lucy to read our scriptures to us today.
The first reading is from Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. And from the letter to the Hebrews, starting at chapter 12. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. After all, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. May God bless to our understanding this reading from his holy word.
It's good to be here. How would anybody feel about being surrounded? I hope that I can convince you at the end of this sermon that as Christians, we are surrounded, and that is a good thing. But being surrounded has some negative connotations to it. Like when the police officer is shouting out, "We have you surrounded," to the criminals in a building, or when soldiers might shout out to their enemies, "We have you surrounded. Come out with your hands up. Drop all your weapons." And so those kind of things are kind of scary. But being surrounded can also be positive. Now, most of you know that I had a 28-year career as a firefighter. And when I was at work fighting fires, I was glad to be surrounded by my bunker gear and my SCBA or my air tank, and providing protection against the flames and the heat, or even during a hazardous material spill, wearing a chemical suit that provided protection from those killer chemicals that were out there. And also, needless to say, the comfort of being surrounded by my crew, helping to get a dangerous situation under control. Now, on Saturday, June the 12th, 2021, Anne and I were watching the European Soccer Championship game between Denmark and Finland. And Christian Eriksen, the captain of Denmark's national soccer team, was stumbling and he went down. And I called to Anne. I said, you know, that something had happened. And later we had heard that Christian Eriksen had suffered a heart attack. And when he went down, his teammates surrounded him to prevent really the cameras and the stadium crowd from seeing him in such a bad state. And you could see in the stadium, the players, the fans, they held hands and they actually prayed. And then the EMS, within 30 seconds, I would say, the EMS came in, surrounded Eriksen with their medical skills and expertise in order that he would pull through this life-threatening event. You know, and also someone who was upset is always glad to be surrounded by a hug or reassuring words as they received comfort. And Eriksen's wife was surrounded by the love and the team's support. And so today, Christian Eriksen is alive and well. I think he's playing for Brentford in the English Premier League. But he is still surrounded by the love and support of family, friends, teammates, and also fans. He, along with many others who were there or watched on their media devices, became witnesses to the effect of the medical and spiritual intervention that he received. Now, in Psalm 33, verses 20 to 22, in the New Living Translation Bible, it states, "Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone." This is a psalm of joy and praise. And these two verses acknowledge God's love for us. It reassures us and can offer a kind of security in being surrounded by this unfailing love. With God's love in our hearts, we gain confidence and feel safe and comforted when we trust in and put our hopes in Him during times of difficulty of any kind, whether spiritual or physical. Being surrounded means He is with us. In our reading of Hebrews that John read, the author, including those he is writing to, is saying, we have been surrounded. The Greek word for surrounded is encircled or enclosed. The author continues by saying, by a cloud of witnesses. Now, in the Greek, the word cloud means a large number of persons or things. So I think it would be safe to say that the author of Hebrews and other disciples of Jesus have been influenced by a large number of people who were all great examples of faith and people of God found in the Torah. And we know that the disciples continue to grow in their faith, and they become principal witnesses to Christ and salvation. The cloud includes many more than the 18 of these people that the disciple... So the cloud includes many more than the 18 people that are mentioned in the previous chapter of Hebrews 11. They include people such as Abraham, Noah, Isaac, Esau, Jacob, Joseph, Sarah. We know there are many more. It is through their testimonies handed down from generation to generation in the readings of the Torah that the author of Hebrews is convinced of their faith and they're resolute as witnesses. In the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew 17, verses 1 to 8, and Mark 9, verses 2 to 13, and Luke 9, 28 to 36. And with approximately 4 months before Jesus' death, we read that the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, went up a mountain with Jesus, and it is believed to be that the mountain was Mount Hermon. And the purpose of this mission was really to strengthen the disciples' faith and become witnesses. They were surrounded by a cloud and the voices of the Old Testament prophets of Moses and Elijah, who communicated with them that Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies because Elijah had come before Jesus, as was prophesied in the Old Testament. The three also heard a voice telling them, "This is my son, listen to him." The disciples now had become witnesses to Christ's infinite glory through Christ's transfiguration. And according to the Hebrew law, there had to be two or three witnesses to make any matter true. The words that God spoke to these three witnesses, to those three disciples, are also for us to hold on to. "This is my son. Listen to him." Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw the transfiguration of Jesus taking place, I'd be running down that mountain so fast and telling everybody I saw after I caught my breath, of course. I just can't imagine that those three would have not told the others of this. But this is exactly what they did. They did not tell the others because Jesus had told them not to tell. Because Jesus knew that he still had work to do and he didn't want to spoil the grand surprise. Only after, when Jesus was raised from the dead, did the three disciples recount what they had witnessed and were surrounded by. Now, we may not have experienced an amazing and direct experience like this, Although some of us here and some of us online may have had a faith-transforming event. A good friend of mine, Pastor Melvin, and a good friend of the Joy team, who has spoken here, was a nationally known soccer player in El Salvador. He gave his life to serve God after he almost died in a horrific motorcycle accident there. And he committed himself to serving God and his people in his community of Santa Ana. Now, similar to those three gospel writers, we have witnesses surrounding us. For example, we have pastors, church leaders, Sunday school teachers, mentors, parents, friends, teammates, the writers of our Old and New Testaments, and of course, we have Jesus. All who are witnesses and guide us in our faith and thus surround us to grow in the knowledge of God's love. These witnesses will surround us with their leadership to teach us to reach our potential by helping us to avoid sin. Sin holds us back and hinders us wherever and whenever possible. Sin is like those unwanted items that we find or get caught in a fishing net. They prevent us from catching fish because those items can and could cut and tear through the meshing, and all of our catch just falls out. Similarly, sin allows our God-given qualities to escape. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ's death, we can avoid the sin that holds us back from eternal life with God and sharing with others. In our reading of Hebrews, the author writes, "We can run the race set before us with the assurance and endurance given to us by the Holy Spirit as our witnesses." We are also surrounded by God's word found in our Bibles and written by those witnesses to Jesus' boundless glory. In fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew 18, verse 20, "For wherever two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." We are surrounded and are witnesses of Christ's love for us. By delving into the study of our Bibles, should there be any doubt as to why being surrounded and becoming witnesses in this matter that our faith cannot be enriched and deepened? When we become enriched with this knowledge through the study, we begin to understand the truth of his wisdom and teachings. We too become witnesses to God's surrounding love, and we share it. I was amazed to see in Nicaragua how the people, including children, youth, adults, and seniors, reacted with excitement when the Joy Mission team gave them a Bible in their language. It was a special gift for them because now they had this direct link with our triune God. And I remember, and maybe some of the other Joy team members that are here remember, when we gave a 10-year-old girl, telling her illiterate abuela or grandmother that 10-year-old would read that Bible to her. That was an amazing thing to see. So let's pause and think about what it means to be surrounded by God's love. We have been enduring, 2 years of a pandemic. It's been a struggle for many as we have missed worshiping in our church, being surrounded by the love of family and friends. And as John read in Psalm 120:25, "Those who trust in the Lord, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore." We know that we can place our trust in God to surround and protect us because of his love for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit within us. We can read his word, but let us as Christians also surround those who may not have a relationship with God with our love, an understanding, less judgment, maybe more teaching. And let us grow as witnesses in our understanding and knowledge in our telling of the stories from the scriptures. And as was mentioned, we must be focused on this race. Be focused on Jesus. Because as in any race, many people in the world or in our communities are watching or witnessing what we are doing. Our faith and determination need to shine through during the most difficult times. You know, I always remember when I was playing hockey, and hockey sometimes brings out the worst in people, and it brought out the worst in me sometimes, but and that's, and so you still, so I kind of had to leave that behind and kind of focus on other things. So, you know, because it would be sad and shameful for us to give up in the middle of a race. But sin and Satan have a way of making us waver in our desire to serve and to know Jesus. Jesus is the one that can provide us with the strength to finish the race with the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts driving us forward. After all, is this not what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross? He shed his blood. Should we not follow his example? Should we not be witnesses to his grace and love in order to surround others with this gift of grace? Should we not take comfort that we are surrounded by a God who loves us? You know, it right now it's very hard to imagine how the Ukrainian people who have stayed to defend their country are feeling about being surrounded by the Russian troops. There are so many emotions. And I believe many of us in Canada, and I include myself, feel a sense of uneasiness and powerlessness. But there is a new song out by Michael W. Smith, and it's called Surrounded, This Is How I Fight My Battles. And really, it tells us that God is our shield as we come to him in prayer for strength and understanding and hope to soften the hearts of the hatred and to give us peace and change in our world. So therefore lies the challenge of this problematic new year. With all the turmoil that we see in the world, we need to surround and be surrounded with and by God's enduring love. Amen. Let us pray. God of hope, when the world is confusing and frustrating, you bring light and hope. We give you thanks for the lessons learned, for changes of heart, for fresh discoveries made and new paths forward, even during these months of pandemic. We pray this day for those who are confused or afraid, for those who feel anger or despair. God of peace, there is so much conflict, hostility and antagonism around us and within us. Personal relationships are often tense. The world community at odds. We pray for understanding to prevail in relationships at work and at home, in our community and in our country. And we pray for diplomacy to end conflict and threat among nations, especially holding before you Ukraine and its people. We also give you thanks for the work your church is doing to aid those in Ukraine and other parts of the world where your people are suffering and need help. God of joy, we give you thanks for the moments of joy and celebration in our lives, for small pleasures given and received through times of isolation. We remember those who feel left out or bitter, those who are anxious or in distress. We pray for those who face loss and hardship in these uncertain times, and all who know sorrow and suffering, naming before those on our hearts this day. God of community and compassion, we thank you for your steadfast presence in the face of all that brings uncertainty and worry these days. Bless our congregation and every church that is struggling. Inspire us to consider renewed ministry and mission after months of restricted gatherings. We awaken our love for one another and our desire to worship and serve together in Jesus' name. Sustain leaders who feel exhausted by the challenges they faced, and renew our stewardship with gratitude for your love. God of grace, receive these prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts. Deepen our trust in you for the days ahead, for we offer ourselves as Jesus' friends and followers in the words he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thanks, everybody, for coming today. It's good to see people in the sanctuary again. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant us to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together we may, with one voice, glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.